This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide from Syngenta, the first premixed dicamba herbicide with residual control for soybeans. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
That's not how you want to send the grain markets into a Thanksgiving holiday. But it is what it is, and now that we've got that selling out of the way, how about we get the funds back on the buy side of the market when trade restarts on Friday?
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk to ourselves. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz checks in from BubbaTrading.com. You know what? Come to think of it, we might need some of you to call in, beloved listeners, and help us with the conversation. 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-4-8-2-5-5-2-4. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. 855-482-5524. That's the number. That's the number.
Is that what I said? 8554.
No, that is not what you said. I don't know what you said.
Four.
That's just wrong what you said.
How about hashtag AgriTalk?
There you go.
We can go that route too.
I like doing that.
However you want to do it, America.
Very good. Yes, because it is Davis and I today, and you, the fine listeners of AgriTalk, we'd love to have you give us a call today so that we can talk about what you guys want to talk about. I think that's really important as we head into the Thanksgiving break, especially considering the way that some of these markets closed today. I mean, we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. These low participation, low volume days. Bubba's on the line. Let's get him right in here.
Yeah, bring him in.
Yeah, as long as he's here, let's use him. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How are you, Todd?
Let's get them right in. Happy Thanksgiving, my boys, and everybody out there at AgriTalk Land.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. These low-volume days, Bubba, I've seen it, the frustration in your texts, in some of your market comments. It's kind of a tough time to go through right now, isn't it?
It's as hard as I've ever seen, especially at this time of year in general. I mean, we're working across the board, not just the grains, not just the cattle, but in every market across the board, it's working at about 60% of normal volume. It is absolutely brutal because, again, it doesn't help markets in general. It doesn't create any real interest. And that's really the problem we're having here, is that everybody is so complacent with the equity markets that they just keep pouring in dollar after dollar, what little they have. There's nobody willing to get in the way of selling them. So that's really the story, and it is very frustrating, especially, you know, when you're a guy like me, I need action, right? I'm a high-strung guy. Action.
Yeah, I hear you. And when it's such low volume, low participation, even if a market does kind of spruce up a chart picture and starts to suggest the prices could move higher, or in the case of corn, you know, we're busting through support levels, because of the low volume, you can't trust any of those signals, can you?
No. I mean, you have to. I mean, obviously, I have to take them when they appear, and I can't predict the market, you know, in general. But again, really, it's a much bigger challenge to do that. I mean, we've just broken down, as you just said, you know, 375 was pretty key. We just broke down in March corn. You know, again, it's hard to get excited about it. And there wasn't even enough blow money and volume to say, hey, this is what we call a blow-off bottom, where they finally just threw in the towel. They're not even throwing the towel. And my biggest concern for everybody is that the bankers will get involved and they'll start forcing the liquidation, because they may be getting nervous pretty soon. And that would be the worst scenario for our guys out in the fields right now.
Okay. You know, and then you flip the page and look over at what's going on in the livestock markets. The hog market is just kind of consolidating in here, but jeepers criminy, this cattle market, Bubba. I hope you're on the long side of that one.
We've been on the long side of that for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Remember, the Tyson fires created that bottom, if you remember, okay? And basically, since then, They've done nothing but gone straight up, both bats and feeders. And, you know, we've had the pullbacks when they were supposed to come in, and then they continue going higher. And, again, I think you're going to look at, you know, like at Feb cattle, I think you're going to probably see, you know, 130, okay, yeah. 132, 133. And I think feeders are going to be over 150. So, again, I think good days are ahead. And, believe it or not, I really believe that good days ahead for the grain market as well. I'm hearing some troubles in Brazil and some other things. And again, eventually this will all work itself out, but I'm looking for good things. But right now the grains are pretty negative, but meat cattle is still really positive, and hogs are still a little bit negative, especially if you want to weigh in what many are considering positive news, which really isn't, but that's what they want to call it. So in the meantime, hogs continue to break down, and eventually they'll find a bottom, but I don't think they've found it yet.
Say, okay. Bubba, I got a question real quick. Chip, can I jump in right, Mitt? Low volume is, since we've already got such low volume going on in these grain markets, and we're heading into the holiday season when there is a threat when volume could even drop further, how much lower can it go? And if it goes lower, what does that mean?
You mean volume or price?
Volume.
Okay.
I mean, volumes can continue to go lower. I mean, again, at some point, you know, it's like the markets are actually closed, which is really kind of the action we're seeing. I mean, but again, right. there's no... Just like there's no law on how far, how high or how low markets can go at any given time, there's no law on how low the volume can go. Again, I would assume at some point here there will be some bargain hunters looking to come in, and okay. you may see some new money. But the real key is going to be we need to get some action in the equity markets, because obviously those are the bigger markets, and we need to get some action there where it at least creates interest, and then people will start looking for the alternative space to bring in new money into grains and other products like the other commodities. But for now, mm-hmm. they continue to, you know, basically waste away. But that volume, we could continue to see a lower drip. But unfortunately, typically the fourth quarter is not this light. And this is the worst. Yeah. I've been doing this for 50 right. years. This is the worst fourth quarter I've ever seen volume-wise.
Oh, wow. Huh. That's crazy. If I had to guess, Bubba, I would suggest that your idea of a really good end to 2019 would be to just kind of take these equity markets flat to slightly lower into the end of the year and start to move some of that money from the equities over to commodities, right?
That would be 100% what I'd love to see. Yeah. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm long. I'm at the biggest long position I've ever carried, you know, from a trader's perspective in the equity markets.
Sure.
But again, for everybody's benefit, it'd be better to see them pull back a little bit, see some of that money flow into the grain markets especially, and see, again, we want to get the trading going. That will bring enough new money if you get activity. But activity, lack of activity creates more lack of activity, and that's really what we're seeing.
Yeah, so. That is something. Hey, Bubba, thank you for everything that you do for AgriTalk. In sometimes when I'm gone. You're here every week on Wednesday. You're bringing the goods every week, man. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate it. I love you guys, and I appreciate the audience and everybody at AgriTalk. It's a great place to be. It's my favorite, and everybody have a great Thanksgiving, and let's get them rocking and rolling after football tomorrow, though.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, that is Todd Bubba Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Did you hear that? We're his favorite.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and that's, I mean, come on. The guy shows up
like
on Fox Business News, like, all the time.
Yeah. He's a superstar. What does that make us? We're like astronaut level now, aren't we?
Well, it's either that or groupies, one of the two.
Okay. Yeah, maybe groupie is a better way to go. Less
and
responsibility.
You know, astronaut, groupie. Really, are we talking about that much difference?
They both had the same chance of getting to the moon, I would tell you that.
You know what we didn't do?
What's that?
We didn't do any news.
What?
We didn't. Wait, didn't do any news. Let's
was
get
that
to
going
the news
out live?
Next.
That was on the air?
I've got Bobby Bachman, soybean herbicide product lead for Syngenta, with me. Bobby, at this point, I think we all know that weeds are profit eaters for growers. What new tools does Syngenta have that give growers a leg up on those tough weeds?
Yeah, and so Syngenta's excited. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology herbicide was registered this spring for use in soybeans and cotton, and is available for the 2020 growing season. Tavium is the market's first premix residual dicamba herbicide, which offers complete coverage and ease of use for growers.
Okay, talk more about that ease of use for growers that you get with the Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology.
Yeah, Tavium is a unique premix of S-metolachlor and dicamba, offering two effective sites of action, providing both contact and residual control to manage key ALS, PPO, and glyphosate-resistant weeds. What's exciting about Tavium is that it adds a second layer of effectiveness against tough-to-control weeds while providing up to 3 weeks additional residual control over solo dicamba products. It can be applied as a pre-emergent herbicide where it controls 21 different weeds, and as a post-emergent option as well where it controls 63 different weeds.
That's amazing. I mean, you're talking about a lot of flexibility as a pre-emergent, a post-emergent herbicide. It's got to fit well into the weed management programs.
Yeah, with the increased pressure and focus on battling resistant weeds, Syngenta strongly recommends an integrated approach to weed management. That includes starting the year off strong by using a pre-emergent herbicide such as Boundary, Broadax, or Prefix herbicides in soybeans, or products such as Caprol or Reflex herbicides in cotton, and then following up with an early application of Tavium. The goal is to target weeds less than 4 inches of size, giving us strong control and the best path at prolonging this technology into the future.
All right. Learn more at www.syngentaus.com/Tavium. That was Bobby Bachman with Syngenta with information about the newest soybean and cotton herbicide from Syngenta, Tavium, now available for the 2020 growing season. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
A lot of things made what you're hearing possible. Glacial movements millions of years ago, annual snowmelt from the mountains, and, believe it or not, crop nutrition. Smart crop nutrition, to be exact. For the person standing on this shore right now, that's what made it possible to be here and to lose himself in the serenity of it all. It came with a phosphate fertilizer called Micro Essentials from the Mosaic Company. It uses fusion technology to make a perfectly balanced granule that delivers season-long sulfur availability and uniform nutrient distribution. Every single plant in your field gets the ideal nourishment all season long. That means a healthier crop and higher yields. And it means a sense of security and that things are going okay. When you have that, you can have little moments like this, too. Experience your own with Micro Essentials. Visit your retailer or microessentials.com to learn more.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Three, two, one. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Wow.
like a trip to the zoo or something. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am your host, Chip Flory. Thank you so much for joining us today. I've got Davis Michelson with me. Just wrapped up an extended conversation with Todd Bubba Horwitz.
Brian Grady told me it's inappropriate to have a turkey in the office.
What's he know? Well, he won't be in the office much longer.
No. He really won't.
Are you okay? Is everything fine?
I'm going to need some time. I'm going to need some time.
You got to deal. Well, yeah, you're right. We do need time. About
some time to sharpen my carving knife.
I don't know exactly what the cooking instructions are, but I was going to say we're going to need about an hour per 4 pounds of turkey.
Something like that.
Something like that. So, as you know, Davis, a little over a year ago, I became a grandpa for the first time.
Yes.
So, as we are going into the Thanksgiving Day break, you know, that little Marin, I mean, that is number one thing that I am thankful for as we go into it because, you know, just kind of the, she's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to admit, I'm kind of a softie for stuff like this. Good friend of mine, Jim Bisinger, Jim and Deb Bisinger became grandparents for the first time. I got to mention it. Addison K. Dinger was welcomed.
Congratulations.
Yes, Caitlin and Nate, or as I like to call them, Kate and Natelin. Kate and Natelin.
Now, is that just today?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. All right.
Yeah, But big shout out to those guys. Congratulations, guys. Looking forward to seeing that one here real quick. So we didn't even get to the news, man.
Yeah.
We didn't even do it. Let's go ahead and get to it. And,
do you want to?
Let's find out what was moving the markets.
We don't have to do this. I mean, we don't need to be slavish to the news form if you don't want to.
No, I think the news is good.
All right. Well, here we go.
Right.
Wheat futures stumbled into the Thanksgiving Day holiday, but a big move to the upside on Monday leaves soft red winter wheat futures well above last Friday's close. Chart watchers say that should have professional trading funds targeting a test of resistance at 535 in December SRW futures. That's when trade restarts on Friday. While the value of the U.S. dollar is having little influence on day-to-day price action in the grain market, the strength in the dollar index with global demand for wheat imports ramping up is seen as a negative factor for wheat prices. On the supply side of the market, traders continue to watch dry conditions in Argentina and Australia as threats to the global wheat crop. December hard red futures 5¾ cents lower at 426¾. December soft red futures fell 1¾ cents to 528½. December spring wheat softened 5½ to 488½. Important to point out here that we're actually coming off a pretty decent bit of strength here in the soft red futures.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. It's easy to look at the way that the market performed today, although we did close well off session lows. Going into the last minute of trade, Davis, it looked like this thing was just going to get slammed.
Yeah.
Wheat, corn, corn kind of did, but the wheat market in particular looked like it was going to get slammed, and then the slide put the brakes on just above 5¼ in that December contract. And you're exactly right. It's easy to think after two consecutive lower closes in that front month SRW that, okay, things are pretty tough. Don't forget that on Monday we were, 16 cents higher.
Yeah. Yep.
So all in all, so far this week, we're still more than we're about 12 cents above last Friday's close.
Yeah.
In front month SRW wheat. That market's still got a chance. And I still think, and I'm glad that you mentioned the currency fluctuations and what's going on there. Global demand for wheat is increasing. I don't think there's any question about it. The wheat market and U.S. wheat prices in particular are really walking a fine line between are we going to move things too quickly to the upside? Because here we are, we're just below the 535 is the October high in front month SRW futures. And we're at what
528½ here in the
528½ today.
Yep.
So we're 7 cents. We're 7 cents away from those October highs in here. And when we hit that October high, we were seeing some some increased demand for wheat, and it just kind of shut the move off. It shut it down in a hurry. So here we are, maybe consolidating under that resistance at 535 with the idea that, hey, if we can find some buying around 530, that might be enough support. That might be enough to support a move above 535.
Well, on the corn side, average daily ethanol production has increased 9 consecutive weeks, Chip, reaching 1.048 million barrels per day in the weekend of November 22. That's up 26,000 barrels per day from the previous week. But for the first time in the production recovery, the daily average climbed on top of year ago, clearing last year's average by 11,000 barrels per day. And even with production on the rise, stocks are shrinking. Stocks fell 237,000 barrels in the week to 20.28 million barrels. That's also 2.653 million barrels below the same week last year. December corn futures were 4¾ cents lower at 3.62¾. March corn fell a nickel to 3.73¼. May corn closed at 3.79. That's down 5¼ cents today, Chip.
Yeah, this feels like the ethanol industry standing in front of the camera and saying the reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated. You've got 9 weeks in a row. Is that what you said?
9 consecutive weeks of increased production.
That is pretty astounding. And here we sit now, 11,000 barrels produced on average per day above the same week a year ago. And then look at your stocks off more than 2.5 million barrels from where we were a year ago. Man, oh man, the trends are going in the right direction. And with the stock situation that we've got now with the weekly increases for almost 2 months now, with the weekly increases that we've got in ethanol production, you know, to me, it feels like we've got to be shipping a lot of this ethanol out of the country.
It makes one wonder, yeah. And with this week's stocks peg at 20.28 million barrels, I'd like to see that slip below 20. I'd like that a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But we're down from, geez, did we make it up to 23
million
barrels at one point?
I mean,
it was getting out of hand there.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. See, this feels pretty manageable to me. It's not tight, but at the same time, it's not burdensome, and it doesn't feel like we're going to run out of space anytime soon for where we're going to put this ethanol. It still feels pretty good. So there, on the corn side of things, I think you've got to look at the demand picture and say, really, on this feed and residual number, are we really going to be off about 300 million bushels from where we were in the 2019 the 2018-19 marketing year? Are we going to be off on feed and residual by 300 million? Now, a lot of that could be in the residual category. I know that. Oh, by the way, we're going to talk to Bill Tierney from Ag Resource next week about the feed and residual category. I think it's on Wednesday of next week.
I
want to talk to him for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want to know what he's thinking about what these markets are going to do. But I've given him warning. I've given him warning that since and the reason that I'm doing this is because Bill was at USDA working on the supply and demand tables for feed grains and oil seeds. Okay? So I'm going to ask Bill why can't we separate the feed from the residual usage components in that category for corn and for wheat. I've read some of his comments on it, and I know that he would really like to see a feed number for both corn and for wheat. So we're going to get his take on it.
Because it's broken out for soybeans, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah. And the reason that they've done it on soybeans is because if you're going to trust the supply side numbers, in other words, your crop estimates, we can track the usage close enough because you're either going to export beans or you're going to crush beans. So you got your total supplies and you know what your use is. Therefore, you should be able to calculate how many beans are left at any given time.
Okay.
With corn, the feed component makes that much, much more difficult because there's no...
I see.
There is no... set number that says, listen, if total number, if the total amount of beef, pork, and poultry produced in a 30-day period is X number of, is X number of pounds, we used X number of pounds of corn to get there.
Right.
That number isn't there. So it's more difficult to come up with a really accurate feed number. So you, instead of just going with the feed number, you go with the feed and fudge number.
Yeah, which is too much math.
Residual, yeah, which is the feed and residual category.
Gotcha. Yep. Gotcha.
We got to get to the oil seeds and livestock next.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
The sounds of success vary from person to person.
Turn over to second in time on the first double play.
Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. When you pick Credenz, you get a precise variety that fits your field. A variety built to work in your soil type and conditions with targeted traits for local pest and disease pressures. Earning the satisfaction of a successful soybean crop? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught is out of the office, so I get to pick the market move that matters the most. Stocks are red hot leading into the holiday season, so let's take a look at what's happening in the S&P 500 stock index. The S&P stopped just short of a new high on Monday, but that new high watermark was reached on Tuesday and again today, with the index trading near session highs right now at just over 3150. Since equities are generally steamrolling the psychological resistance levels, let's look at a couple of support levels in the S&P. The first is at Monday's low of 3116.50. That is also the top of the upside gap posted at the start of the week. The bottom of that gap is at 3114.50, and that should also provide some support. However, even if these short-term support levels are broken, there won't be much chart damage done until the S&P falls below one-time resistance at 3020. Pro Farmer members, go to profarmer.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
We're not even going to recap how the markets closed today because it kind of stunk.
Well,
except for cattle. We haven't even done cattle yet. So.
Yeah, we haven't even capped the markets yet, so no. I don't see how we can recap.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Very good. You know what? I want to touch a couple of tweets here real quick.
Yeah, I saw we got
pick
some.
Back up on soybeans. This from at Proverbs2_6Dad, Vance. He says, what specifically is upsetting all the Western European farms? Back in the day, I was told they had controlled markets. Are subsidies and protection trade policies becoming too expensive to maintain? That is referencing a conversation that we had in the first hour of AgriTalk this morning with Dr. Frank Mittlerner from UC Davis. He's air quality specialist there at UC Davis, at GHG Guru on Twitter. It's a great follow. You can pick up a lot of information there. And Vance, I'm going to tell you, I think I tagged at GHG Guru, Dr. Mittlerner, in a reply to you, and hopefully he will jump in there. Mm-hmm. But it was a fascinating conversation, I thought, because I made the point that, hey, here in the U.S., I feel like farmers are doing a good job of trying to get out in front of some of these environmental issues. They're trying to improve water quality voluntarily, trying to do what they can to to shut down erosion and runoff. And he said, yeah, we are, but it's that has also happened in Europe. And what the protests are about in a big way over there, Vance, is farmers have grown tired of being blamed for everything that is wrong with the environment. They have grown tired of their price structure.
Yep.
They've grown tired of the rules and the regulations.
The micromanagement.
The micromanagement.
Yep.
And they have just decided to throw their hands in the air, put their tractors on the road, and protest. And I would like to think that we're out in front of it. And then Dr. Mittlerner makes the point that, hey, you know, he's arguing, and he is a European, so he is arguing that on environmental issues, the European farmers may be as much as 15 years in front of U.S. farmers. So you might have this to look forward to in the future. Unless we keep up the voluntary efforts. I thought it was a great conversation this morning.
It really was eye-opening.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. At RJFran23, seasonal basis on corn better and low exports. Maybe the crop isn't there to export. Taking care of home first, what are the triggers to watch the January report? You know, Randy, this is a point that I made out at Milk Business Conference, and I made it on AgriTalk too. When we fill up, let's see, when the demand from the domestic end users is mostly met, and their storage is getting full, and they're comfortable with their supplies, and they don't feel like they need to bid up for corn anymore, that basis is going to start to slide back. When that basis starts to slide back, that may be the opportunity that the importers are waiting for before they step in and start booking some more corn.
Okay.
But as I say that, we cannot forget that we are looking at some of the stiffest competition for corn exports that we've ever seen coming out of Ukraine and coming out of Argentina and coming out of Brazil. We've already built in some low expectations on corn exports, and I'm not too sure if we've gone low enough yet. Okay? So there may be there's still work to do, both in the cash market and obviously the basis market, before we start to see that demand come back in. And then at Real Country 1430, Brian, you know, he's responding to your, I don't know what you're thinking, give us a call.
Yes.
He says, I will tell you what I'm thinking. I'm done with this winter weather, Brian. Brian, I'm tough. tough, because it ain't getting any better anytime soon, man, and it's still early in the
Brian,
winter season.
If this helps, AgriCat's got your back. Maybe it helps a little. I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, hey, has anybody seen AgriTurkey?
AgriTurkey is over by the door, kind of crouched, like he's trying to figure out how to work the doorknob.
Wow.
I can't let him out now.
All right. Well, turn the oven on. We'll get to him here in a second. All right. What happened to beans today?
Well, when bean plantings in Brazil's main soybean production areas were delayed by dry conditions, Chip, January beans stubbornly traded above 9.25. Yeah. Once the rain started to fall, January beans slid easily through support at 9.25, consolidated between 9.10 and 9.25, and recent timely rains in Brazil once again sent bean prices to the downside. Yeah. Bean prices are now nearly 80 cents off the October highs. Brazilian bean crop potential is just part of the reason. The nearly 80 cents, the drawn-out trade negotiations with China and a failure of Congress to take up USMCA also get credit for pulling bean prices lower over the past 6 weeks. The lower range close in January beans also suggests the markets will be on the defensive again when trade restarts on Friday. January bean futures 2.25 cents lower, 8.82 even. March beans fell 2.25 today to 8.96 and a half. May beans closed at 9.10 and three quarters, down 2.5 cents, Chip.
Okay, this China trade talk. I know that we are waiting for the day when we can do the soybean news and not include trade talks, China, U.S., all that in what is influencing the price of soybeans. But we're not there yet, obviously. And we talked about it on the Farmer Forum this morning, Tim Recker and Michelle Jones. Whether or not, is President Trump really holding this up now? Is he really holding it up, trying to get something even better? Because it sounds like there's a pretty good deal that China is willing to move forward on in phase one that will, it won't fix all of the issues in ag trade, but it will at least give us an opportunity to get back to where we were when this thing all started in April of 2018. To me, right now, after a year and a half, I know that there's more that needs to be done with the intellectual property rights issues, copyrights, technology transfers, forced ownership. I know that there's all kinds of things that need to happen. But dang.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that when we start talking about China trade and the tariffs on U.S. soybeans going into China and the tariffs on U.S. pork going into China and the tariffs on U.S. ag goods in general going into China, you know, it drives me crazy when I hear you're getting what you deserve from the non-farming community.
Right.
And the reason it drives me crazy is because these people forget we didn't ask for them.
Right.
They're retaliatory tariffs for tariffs that were established in an effort to make things right for manufacturing, to make things right for services, and to make things right for entertainment. It wasn't in an effort to make things right for agriculture, but because the Chinese government knew that agriculture was the most vulnerable spot, that's where the retaliatory tariffs went. So just think sometimes before you open your mouth or tweet, because this is, wishing ill will and you're getting what you deserve kind of comments on farmers is wrong. It's...
Well, and speaking of think before you tweet, the president's message on this trade war.
There's another one that maybe should.
Has been all over the place. Most notably, it started out with, what was it? Trade wars are easy to win and quick or something like that.
Yeah.
In spite of that, do you think the president anticipated that this was going to go on even this long? Do you think he? He understood what he was getting into when he stepped into the ring with these guys?
Dude, I don't know.
I mean...
I don't know. Yeah, you go back to when President Trump was elected and on AgriTalk, the comments were made that, hey, it was a big win for the Republican Party. It's a big win for this, big, you know, and everything like that. And I contested that it was a big win for the Trump, for the party of Trump.
Right.
So it's such a different pathway that he has chosen.
Yeah.
To fix some of the issues that have been allowed to become an overburden on U.S. business. It's such a different pathway that he has chosen that I don't know what we should have expected, Davis. I do know this. I expect that if he can get a win with a phase one agreement, he's going to take it. It's just that he's going to take it when it's going to do him the most political good, be of the greatest benefit to him politically, is when he's going to take that phase one win. And I don't know when he thinks that is.
Well, he mentioned in comments, we talked about it this morning on the show, he had mentioned that he wants to make sure we've got catch up to play here in this deal as in relation to the fallout.
And he's talking about the trade deficit there. If I'm going to do any kind of deciphering, whatever, I would say that he's talking about the trade deficit that the U.S. holds with China on that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to get to the livestock trades. Big moves already this week happening in the cattle complex. We'll talk about it next.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
We're saying thank you to our producers. Head on out to your local Titan Machinery location December 2nd through the 7th for the best savings of the year on everything from filters, oil and fluids, to shovels and coulters. Visit titanmachinery.com/customer appreciation for more information about the discounts available on genuine Case IH parts beginning December 2nd. Stock up and save. Titan Machinery, power and precision to grow. Learn more at titanmachinery.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Commodity Classic is unlike any other event in agriculture because it's created by farmers for farmers. Farmers determine the entire schedule, from the educational sessions to the trade show to the entertainment. Your experience is focused on the questions you have, the challenges you face. You'll walk away with answers, ideas, and a renewed energy about your operation because farmers just like you have made sure you will. See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, February 27th through 29th. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Davis, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go straight to the Twitter machine.
All right.
First off, come on, Brian. I mean, you know, you can have a dislike for cats, but to just come right out and say that you hate cats, like the Agri Kitty. That's terrible. That's terrible. Grow a heart. It's the holiday season, Brian. Come on, Grinch. Boy, I hope I didn't imply what at Grain Monster tweeted at us.
Okay.
And I don't think we did because he's got his smiley face with the shades on. He says, we're going to run out of ethanol. We're not going to run out of ethanol.
But it is
a much different situation in that ethanol market than what it what now. In the fundamentals of the ethanol market, we are starting to bring some margin back, but we've got a long ways to go before the guys that are making ethanol are going to say, all right, you know, that shutdown production that we had, let's bring that back on. Okay. So, it's a much improved situation in ethanol, but it's not perfect. It's far from perfect right now.
Are those shuttered plants, by the way? I was going to ask you about this before we were talking about the ethanol production. Are some of those coming back online now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good. At the Grain Grower, he says, I'm telling you, Trump wants to break China's legs. Art of the deal. He's got to get ag off the table. I agree with this. It's China's only leverage. Going to break their legs New York style.
New York style.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too there, Clinton. Excellent point in the he's got to get ag off the table. It's China's only leverage. Very good. Very good point. If phase one of the deal can get that done, then hey, we're going to make some progress there. At XZDGoat, he says, what would it take to have KC wheat regain its premium to Chicago? Hashtag AgriTalk.
Yeah.
And he put his own ding in there.
He did.
I love it. It's working.
Doug.
I love it. I love that. That's a guy that's paying attention right there, dude.
He's switched on. He's engaged is what he is.
So I'm going to give you a partial answer to that, Doug. What it would take to get KC wheat back at a premium to the Chicago market. In other words, HRW futures above SRW futures. as soon as the funds look over at that HRW market and see something shiny that they like, mm-hmm. and the money starts to flow that way, that's when we'll see that HRW get back in line with the SRW market. But right now, because it is such low volume, you're going to stay where the volume is the greatest, and that's in that SRW market. Okay. So I think that's what's going on there for the most part, Doug, but I'm going to look more into that. And if there's more to that answer than what I think there is, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this, too. In the December contract, the hard red mm-hmm. futures are over $1 below the December soft red futures.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hadn't occurred to me before.
Yeah, it's not unusual to see that kind of a spread between the winter wheat and the spring contract. Mm-hmm. But when you get it between SRW and HRW, it Doug's exactly right. It's unusual and it's something that you need to pay attention to.
Yeah, very good.
All right, what's going on in cattle?
Well, live cattle traders enter the Thanksgiving break by feasting on a very strong chart performance. Futures stretched out to new contract highs, encouraging fresh buying and sending any existing short positions scrambling for the exits. Anticipated demand from Japan starting January 1, 2020, and renewed optimism that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will get USMCA to a floor vote yet this year are helping to lift cattle prices. December cattle futures 102.5 higher, 121.42.5. February cattle futures jumped 102.5 to 126.70. Jan feeders gained $1.70, 143.32.5. Chip.
Yeah, we talked about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been of the opinion that the impeachment hearings, mm-hmm. just a general dislike mm-hmm. of President Trump by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and an mm-hmm. unwillingness to give the White House anything that might resemble a win mm-hmm. would prevent a USMCA floor vote in the House before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, President Trump has become has gone out of his way to antagonize Speaker
yes.
Pelosi.
Yes.
And it's getting to the point now where I wonder if she isn't going to decide, you know what? He doesn't think I can do it. I'll show him. I'll do it.
Right. And well, how does the old saying go? If you can't impeach him, join him? Is that how it goes?
I don't know.
That's what it feels like to me.
We're going to have to look that up. So anyway, I would love it if I lose every bet that I've made on USMCA not being voted on in 2019. But I think odds are starting to lean that way. Hey, mm-hmm. get to hogs real quick.
Sure thing. Well, December lean hog futures traded on both sides of $61 for the sixth consecutive session as prices continue to build a base. Traders say they are hesitant to push front month futures under $60. They warn that a big purchase of U.S. pork by China could turn a short position under $60 into a big time loser in a short period of time. December hogs were 15 cents lower at 67.5. Feb hogs dipped 67.5 to 67.15.
Yeah, here's the deal in a nutshell in hogs. You can't sell the front month where it's at because China could come in and buy it. But you can't buy the front month where it is because we've got record hog slaughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, yeah. it's really crazy. So you've got this market that is anticipating demand, and it's showing up so well in the spring and summer month contracts.
Yes.
But at the same time, you can't ignore the fact that we've got record production levels. It's really kind of a conundrum here for this hog market right now. But, you know, I think the attitude in there right now is that eventually the demand is going to come to the market and help to lift this thing. All right. Hey, thank you for listening today, and happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you so much. We appreciate our listeners so much, and we hope mm-hmm. that you know that. Thanks to Todd Bubba Horowitz for joining us today. Tomorrow morning, we're turning the show over to Andrew McCray from Farming the Countryside. And tomorrow afternoon, Mike North from Commodity Risk Management Group with a focus on what's happening in the dairy markets. For Joe Stackler and Davis Michelson, I'm Chip Flory, and this is AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Thanks to Tavium Herbicide from Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. With Tavium, time's up for tough weeds. Visit www.syngentaus.com/tavium to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted-use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.